GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. This is the George Hale Rick Tyler Show. It's Cop Talk in Spacious Studio 7A. Wade Betters, Sergeant with the Bangor Police Department. We saw you in that video with you guys shopping with cops for, what is it, CNL Aviation, buying the toys for the kids and wrapping up that big giraffe.
Yeah.
That was a kick. You imagine being the kid waking up Christmas morning and seeing that great big giraffe that was just wrapped up by the cop.
It would have been just easier to put a bow on its head, but yeah. We had a great time. And,
that was cool.
You know, CNL Aviation, boy, I'll tell you what, they stepped up. We don't really buy any plane parts from them
at the PD, so
I can
feel like
I can say that we do not.
You've never bought an airplane propeller or some landing gear.
Aside from faking when the life flight helicopter goes over that we've called it in, that's the closest we get to.
I saw Rick the other day at CNL. I thought he was going to get in the cockpit and fly.
Yeah.
And nice picture of you posing.
It's a pretty exciting place over there.
Yeah, I hear that.
By the way, it's also... You would get a kick out of going. You want me to make an arrangement to try to get you over to tour the place?
Yeah, someday. Yeah.
It'd be nice. Chris Kilgour. He's He sounds Australian. Technically, I think he's from New Zealand.
Yeah.
I can double check. But anyway, good people. And that was instead of sending out Christmas gifts to their clients.
Yep.
They took the money and they worked with the Bangor Police Department to find kids who might not be having a Merry Christmas, went out, shopped for them, wrapped everything up and delivered it. It was great. You can probably find the video on Facebook on CNL's page. So we haven't seen you or talked to you since the crazy situation, and you don't have to talk about the case, so you're not affiliated with it, but the guy, he just got out of the hospital yesterday, and he's now charged with attempted murder.
Yep.
Because it was a report of shoplifting at the Walmart in Waterville.
Mm.
And then Waterville police officer Hinton, I don't have his first name in front of me, but you wouldn't think a minor case like shoplifting, a crime is a crime, I know.
Yep.
Would lead to what investigators say was a bona fide shootout.
Yeah, it's
first
unreal.
Of all, you don't see many shootouts in the state of Maine.
Yep, luckily we don't. And it is too bad. And, in cases like that, obviously we never want that to happen. And you're right. You know, we're talking about a shoplifting that ends up leading to a police chase and a shootout and all that stuff. And a lot of times it's been my experience to know that a lot of people that have used physical force to get away from loss prevention, sometimes there's been knockdown, drag out fights. They'll ram a shopping cart into loss prevention to escape, or they'll pull and fight and push just to get out of there. And you're thinking, what is going on? Sometimes that person has on their person or they're in their pockets or something, some items that they don't want to give up, that they are worried that the police or somebody might find. Sometimes they're worried that they have warrants out for their arrest, or they have so many previous theft convictions, it's a felony, they want to get away. A lot of times people just simply do not want to go to jail for a day or two. They have drug addiction issues and they don't want to be in there for a couple of days without having access to what they need.
Mm. We are seeing... I don't know. A broad brush, Rick, is hard. But we are seeing cases that I don't quite recall seeing so much in the past. The one in Limerick was a disturbing case, too. That's where it was the York County Sheriff's Officer.
At the Dollar General.
The Dollar General. Yeah. The 16-year-old kid is there with a gun. Mm. And he ends up shot and killed. The deputy they have identified was Robert Carr. And what are you going to do? He walks in there as a kid with a gun. I guess we're just catching up with the world, I suppose.
Yeah, you know, and I don't know a lot of details about that case, but boy, it sounds like it's a no-win situation, you know. And I feel bad for the victim's family, and I feel extremely bad for the deputy and his family. You know, that stuff has a huge impact on the deputy, the agency, and the deputy's family and whatnot. It's a big deal, and it's just too bad.
Well, we've had 8 in 2019 of officer-involved deadly force incidents in Maine. Last year, 2019, we had 8. That's a lot. To me, that's a lot more than we've ever had before.
Yeah, it's weird, and you know, it's an uptick. I guess, you know, looking at Maine to other states, it's like a drop in the bucket. But and you look at the deputy down there, when you have to do what's necessary, it doesn't always mean it's a pleasant outcome. You know, and that's it's just too bad.
What seems a side issue to this is when an officer is involved in one of these incidents, they go on administrative leave.
Yep.
And that leaves the force already strapped because, as we've learned from you and from, I mean, who's the corporal from the Maine State Police? Chris Cotton. You guys are already understaffed. And now so many guys have got, or gals have got to go on administrative leave because the AG has to investigate.
Yep.
And now you're even more strapped for coverage.
Right. You know, and when you have a case of, you know, multiple agencies coming together, and if there's any type of exchange of gunfire or use of deadly force, you know, all those officers that are involved are going to get on administrative leave. You know, when you know, it's weird to think about it, but for us, as a police officer, if you were in a situation where it was necessary and you needed to, you know, shoot someone, I mean, you're the number one suspect in a homicide, and you're on administrative leave, and you're going to be investigated for just like any other case.
And in this world of social media, people who were not there,
right,
had no personal knowledge of what happened, start second guessing.
Absolutely, you know.
I read quite a few comments on the Southern Maine one, and the thing that strikes me is I'm saying, you weren't there.
I know.
A policeman walks in and there's somebody standing there with a gun.
Right. It's always frustrating, too, because people will kind of say, well, I hope he was at least pointing the gun at someone. You know, and you're thinking, oh, gee, that drives me crazy because I feel like we should have like an open day of public training to stop by and go through a scenario and see how quickly you can be the victim of getting shot if you encounter someone with a firearm.
You know, I didn't have as much of a respect for that, what you just described, until I started talking with Monty.
Yes.
I started to say that he was fascinated with the idea of a career in law enforcement, and it dates back to, and he's talked about it openly, the helping take down, I think it was a shoplifter at Home Depot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now he felt that rush and he felt that call, and now he is proceeding with it. But hearing him talk about that split decision moment for which you need a lot of training.
Yeah, you do. I mean, this is not an easy job. I mean, it can be an interesting and fun job sometimes. And I know we've gone over this in the past, but it's a big deal. I mean, you're tasked with, you know, Maine state laws, traffic laws, legal case decisions, all that stuff on a daily basis to try to find out and make sure you're making the right decisions. But when it comes to use of deadly force, I mean, there's not a police officer I've ever met that really wants to do anything like that. And even in the back of your mind, you're starting to check the boxes. Okay, I'm at this level now. I'm at this level now. What am I going to do if I show up to that shoplifting and this guy has a gun and he won't put it down? You know, you think of those things going through your head on your way there, and you have a split second usually to make a decision.
Most, if not all, of the police officers I've known, I've known quite a few through the years in this business, you can't avoid.
Yeah.
Police, we all know you.
Yeah.
But almost all have said to me, when you answer the call, You really don't know what you're facing on the other side of that door.
Yeah, and it can get a little bit routine. It's another noise complaint. It's another domestic, you know. But you're absolutely right. You know, we talk about simple things like a car stop, trying to pull a driver over, and the driver might flee from the vehicle and run into an apartment building and close the door, right? And your simple thing, in your mind, you're thinking, this guy's running from me because he doesn't have a license, right? Well, that might be true, but he also might be wanted or have some serious reasons why he's hiding from the police. He may assume that you know these and that you're coming for him, right? But you have no idea. So he might be willing to fight back or maybe even to end your life and a chance to get away.
You say that, and now I wonder about the apprehension of the guy associated with the Walmart Waterville shoplifting. I don't have my notes in front of me. His last name is hyphenated. It's Murray something, something, something. And I wonder, maybe George, you saw it in your stack of stuff. He's charged with attempted murder now, but I wonder if they found that I wonder if they also found that he was OAS, operating after suspension, which you can understand that might compound it. And someone might think, okay, I'm getting out of here.
Right. Yeah. And people, again, and I don't know that situation, but I've seen people do some pretty ridiculous things to get out of or try to escape getting even ticketed for a minor offense because they're so worried they're going to end up in the jail for a day or two. Mm-hmm. And they are so addicted to whatever their drug of choice is. You're talking about
being... Oh, no. See, that's something I hadn't thought about. Maybe so, it's their addiction that causes them to think that I can't go in the pokey.
That's right. So a lot of the... I mean, that's a fact. I mean, I've had people tell me they can't go in there for a couple of days. I mean, you're talking about, as we said in the past, being violently, painfully ill to go through withdrawal. I mean, it is so miserable. It'll drive you to break into someone's house. It'll drive you to do crazy things.
Side story. My sister works... At the Somerset County Jail as a nurse.
Yeah.
And she tells these.
Yeah.
She comes to the house. We just saw her over the holiday break and these accounts. And I'm like, Barb, I don't know if I can hear this today.
Right.
But she said, you have to. It's a reality.
It's the real deal. And that's why people will work so hard to get away in some cases.
Well, you were referring what the...
Murray Burns.
Murray Burns.
Yeah, Richard Murray. I knew his last name was hyphenated. 29 of Harmony.
He was... He's been charged with aggravated attempted murder. He ends up in the jail. I guess he survived the shooting thing. Tim Hinton is the officer over there. Mm. And he was shot in the arms, so he's recovering.
Awful.
He was in both arms, wasn't he?
Both arms. Yeah. That's amazing to me that happened.
Well, when that many bullets flying around.
Yeah. Exactly.
Boy.
Then awful. That was a case where there was... a traffic stop involved in that one. And there was a police chase. It ended up in Canaan. Wow. That's another thing we're seeing a lot of lately. We're seeing people taking off.
Yeah, they'll do that. We certainly had a number of police chases over the years. It's something that we, in the scheme of things, we kind of rarely do it. We have done it in a few times, but, it's a tough thing because you don't want to let the person get away. But at the same time, police officers are really tasked with, among many other things, with trying to figure out, do we have more to lose and more to gain if we're going to chase this person, if they're driving this crazy, that type of deal. And so we kind of look at all those factors. And a lot of times we can really chase or pursue someone reasonably safely. So that's kind of what we'll do.
And that Murray Burns incident, by the way, he was firing at the officer with an assault-style weapon.
Oh, it's unreal.
So that was the description of it. I'd be interested in finding...
I don't know what the weapon was.
Only because we have heard, even... we've heard media accounts say it was an assault-style weapon, where when you actually investigate what the firearm was, it wasn't an assault-style weapon. So I just want to...
This is a media report.
Express a caution with that, because... someone who is a rightful, law-abiding owner of a firearm who takes the training sometimes would be, okay, now you're giving all owners a black eye because they have an assault-style weapon if they actually did. I just want to avert the text messages, which are going to fly in.
Right.
Well, he's in the slammer with no bail, but he's not coming out.
Yeah, well, good. He is coming out because he's got a date in court.
That's the next time we'll hear of this case.
I did.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.